Sometimes we just trust in what we see, amen? In our own ways. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. We're going to continue in this series on the book of John. Hopefully it's been somewhat insightful. My nose is running now. Thank you. How many struggle with allergies? I do, and I curse that, amen? I do too. In 1 John chapter 2, we're going to start at verse 29 this evening. 1 John 2, verse 29, then we'll get to chapter 3, verse 1. It says this, if we know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that does righteousness is born of him. How many of those like begets like? If you're righteous, then righteousness begins to come out of your life. One of the areas that you know that you're saved is that you start to change even your thinking process. How many knows God is righteous? I said he is righteous. That's his essence. If you're born again, you are righteous. And the proof is your righteous acts. It doesn't mean you work your way to heaven, but now that you're saved, that area of your life starts to come alive. Because in the natural, we're dishonest. We're liars. Can I go on? In the flesh dwells no good thing. But when Christ gets in you, there's a difference. You have a real relationship with him. You walk your words and you work your righteousness. Oh, hallelujah. The righteousness changes your thinking, your conduct, your judgment and attitudes. Your activities are continuous and connected. When it comes to being a Christian, it's not something you just do and then don't do. It's who you are. I said it's who you are. Too many forget. They look in the mirror, and as soon as they walk away, they forget what manner of man or woman they are. That ought not to be us. If you're saved, you're different. It's like when God comes in you, that seed is placed there. Now that seed germinates and it produces. At any point, you can change that area and say, I don't want to grow. I don't want to know God. I don't want to follow him. That's a choice of your will. But if Christ is in you, why would you want to go back to those rudimentary things? The world is just as lost as when you left it. I'm serious. And there's no peace when you go back to that place. The righteousness manifests itself in obedience to God's commands. It shuns sin, it strives for holiness and love, and it operates in faith. In 1 John 1:6 says this, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. When I look at Christianity today, I see many times relationships are like this with the Lord. It's like good, 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 yeah, crash. Hopefully when you get here, the downturn is just a little, then you go back up. The crash is what hurts. The crash is where you separate. The crash is when you're way out there. And thank God the Lord's still gracious during those times, but let's not test that. Let's not see how far we can get away from him, but how close we can get to him. Amen? If we love the Lord, Isaiah 56 verse 1, thus saith the Lord, keep my judgments and do justice. For my salvation is near to come and my righteousness will be revealed. When you're born out of God, you're able to do righteous deeds because righteousness is in you. Wouldn't it be great if the world looked at the church and say, man, those guys are righteous, man. They do what is right. Shouldn't that be a testimony for the church to the world? But when the church tries to be like the world, it's so muddled down, it's gray area, and there's no difference. Why are we ashamed to be the church in the world? Why are we ashamed of that? Why don't we just declare, hey, I am a Christian. I'm not ashamed of that. I was once in darkness. Sometimes I feel people will respect the church more when we stand up for what we believe and not be sissies about it. Because when somebody lives in sin, they live all out. They do. How about living all out for God? I've seen more people go, I don't understand it, but I respect it. Say amen. We don't have to cower down. When you receive that new nature by being born again, it's in me. I have a new nature. Thank God for that. In 2 Peter verses 1, verse 4 says this, whereby we have exceeding and great promises, that we might be partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Amen? When Jesus was dealing with Nicodemus, he said in John 3:3, hey, you must be born again, otherwise you can't enter the kingdom of God. And he contemplated it. How can I be born again when I'm old? I can't enter. Can I enter a second time in my mother's womb? He said, no, that which is born of flesh is what?
Flesh.
But that which is born of spirit is spirit. All of us need to continue to work on that spiritual side. I've been born again. I have the seed of God. The nature of Christ is in me. And since that's in me, I want to work that out of my life. Not of works of righteousness that saved me, but now righteous deeds because it's in me. I have the potential of doing finally what is right. Say amen. Aren't you glad that God can change us all? Where would we be even now if you could remove every godly trait out of your life? If you could remove the Holy Ghost out of your life right now, what are you like? Are some of us even in this room today? Are we already gone? It's that God who's worked in us in Ephesians 4:23 and renewed in the spirit of your mind. Each area that I have, I need to have that new spirit to put on the new man, which is created after righteousness and true holiness. Now, have we contemplated how holy he is? How pure he is? See, that's the God we serve. And if I have that nature in me, I want you to know I can become that. Isn't that cool? When somebody tells me, hey, I was born that way, this is the way I was born. Okay, then get born again. If that's your logic, then get born again. Okay, I won't refute that. Then get born again. Then the nature will change you. We need to have that working in us. If that's in us, we have that divine seed working in us. I'll jump ahead for a minute. In 1 John 3:9, whoever is born of God doesn't commit sin, for his seed remains in him. I love that. That doesn't mean you won't be a failure, but that seed that made me born again does not sin. Amen? The Holy Spirit does not sin in my life. The only time I sin is when I'm weak in the flesh. Anybody with me on there? Amen? I mean, it was that the longer you serve the Lord, the more you realize how much flesh you got around. There's sometimes when you first get saved, things are just like everything's brand new. Wow, 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 wow. And then you serve the Lord for a while and you realize that, wow, I got to change. Wow, I still got a mouth. Wow, I still got some attitude. Everybody's perfect in this church. You ever notice that when you got saved, you had eternal life? Isn't it amazing what's been imparted into your spirit? I love that area in 1 John 5:11. This is the record that we have that God sent his son to give us eternal life. The hidden life that we have is in our inner man that's been birthed by God. No man has the power over his nature to work righteousness. It only comes by regeneration. Now, there's some great programs out there. There's some programs that will help you get some victory here. But unless you change the nature of man, we'll always pick up something else. It's just true. It's in us. That emptiness is there. It only can change because the Holy Ghost is in us. Look at 1 John 3:1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the what? The children of God, the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not because it didn't know him. Notice the word starts off as behold. It's like this. Attention, readers. Hey, attention, behold. It's like you could stop right there. It's like, could you imagine Jesus saying, behold? It's like, Lord, grab a hold of our attention. What manner of love? We know in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The greatness of his love, the intensiveness, the exclusiveness, all that works in my favor. That I have his spirit now in me. That everything that I can become has been generated out of that seed of born again. I am developing into what God wants me to be, little by little by little. How many understand that? Yes, my spirit's been born again. Yes, I'm alive. But how many knows there's a growth process? I'll jump ahead for a minute. Do you know when you see him, you will be like him, for you will see him as... Won't that be cool? It's not that you're going to be some little God there. I'm not talking about that. But you're going to share that expressed image. Say amen. How many of us, that's going to be a good thing. We are going to graduate to something far greater than none of us could ever imagine. When we're little, you don't think about getting old. When I was little, when I saw somebody in high school or college, I thought they were ancient. Amen? When you're a little guy, it's like, wow, you're a college student. Wow. All right? And how many of those years go by quick? Now when I see these numbers on some of their literatures, I'm like, oh, wow. I graduated how many years before? Amen? Man, I'm old enough to be your father. Bless the Lord. Sometimes your grandfather. How many of that happens in reality? You get old slowly and suddenly. But notice that, behold what manner that we should be called. Think about it. You are called the children of the Almighty God. It's a standing fact. Since that seed is in you, that made you born again. You're not born of the flesh anymore. You're born of the Spirit. That spirit nature came in you and made you alive. I love that. I've been born again. And God is now my Father. That gives me access to everything that He has and He has promised and what I'll become. That one day I will be like my Father in heaven because the seed is in me. Isn't this cool? John's reiterating to them, listen to me. If the world doesn't know you, you want to know why? It didn't know Him. The world doesn't understand Christians. It doesn't seek fellowship with it. It takes no part in it. There's no concept there. There's no spiritual nature in them. Those things are totally foreign. Now, they can use the term born again. I've had car salesmen say that to me. I've had my Bible on my dashboard and looking at a car, and the guy will walk up and look, oh, you must be one of those born again Christians. And honestly, I almost answered every time that, what does that mean? I make them explain what it means. And you'd be amazed. I know, but do you know what it means? It's just not a conversation piece. It could be. But what does it mean to be born again? I'm not rude, but then I tell them what born again really means. It means the Spirit of God comes in you and makes your spirit alive. That's the difference. You still look the same, but you have a new nature. I'm thankful I have the nature of Christ in me because I had the nature of the enemy before. Well, that's a scary fact, amen? Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil, and what he does, you'll do. Oh, Lord, forgive me, amen? How many knows if you don't have the nature of Christ, it's not of God? That's why no one will make it to heaven without that nature. In the Old Testament, they looked to the cross. We look back at the cross. But in the Old Testament, they still walked by faith. They did. They still walked by faith. They trusted that that provision of sin that was brought in, those animal sacrifices, was an atonement at that moment as they waited for the one who would be there, the Lamb of God. Israel was a type of Christ in the Old Testament, if you think about it. He walked with them. He was with them. The tabernacle was there. And I believe this with all my heart. Israel was a type of the church back then for every nation. That there's no God like the God of Israel. Amen? Could you imagine nations trembling when Moses took them out of the land of Egypt, the most powerful nation in the whole world? They had all the riches. And all of a sudden, God brings them out without a sword or a bullet or a tank. And it destroys their army by flooding over them. Don't you think that went from mountain to mountaintop to mountaintop? There was no God like the God of Israel. None. Still the same today, amen? You need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Have it on your prayer time praying for those brothers and sisters. We're not complete without them and they're not complete without us. Praise God. And I'm so glad that the Bible calls the Gentiles, which is me, we've been grafted in. We're that wild olive shoot. But how many knows that we still have the same benefits now? Because God doesn't go, oh, you're adopted, you get to sit over there and eat at that table. But my real kids get to sit here. No, God doesn't do that. You get to sit at the same table, dine on the same promises. Hallelujah. Thank God. No matter what your heritage was, whether your family's made it or blew it, it doesn't matter anymore. You have a new generation, a new hope, a new calling. Oh, that's good stuff. But if you're looking for the world to give you praise, they're not going to do it. If you're looking to the world to say, hey, understand where we're at, it won't. They have to spiritually understand that. That's why we got to pray the strongholds down. People's eyes to be open. Now, do you remember when you got saved? Anybody in here? We just heard Mark's testimony. How many of us, when you accepted Christ, things changed? Man, you knew something was different, true? How many of you are like, oh man, this is so cool. Well, I got a relationship with the Lord. Maybe you teared up, maybe you were happy. I don't know what your emotions was, but something happened. Most of the world does not know God. If you think about the billions of people on this planet, oh, it's a heart-wrenching thing to realize. Billions are on their way to hell. Billions. Lord, let us change that. Amen? There's enough room in heaven for everybody. There is. There's enough room there. But it's amazing to me how things can creep in. And even so-called religion can keep people out of relationships. Lord, we come against every relationship that's contrary to you. Amen? When it comes to beloved, it denotes a relationship. Now, I don't do that to some work people. Hey, beloved. How many of you get punched? Amen? Hey, beloved. Man, beloved. 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 Man, something wrong with you. That's a term of endearment. When he's speaking that to the church, there's relationship there. Beloved. Like, I want Jesus to call me beloved, don't you? Yeah. Amen? How would you like to know that you're the love of his life? Yeah. Isn't that cool to know? Yeah. That he'll spend time with you in legitimate time. In heaven, you'll have legitimate time with him. And whenever he has to go to the Father, you're not going to be like, oh, I guess I won't see you again for another million years. A lot of people in heaven. Okay, Lord. No, you're not going to have that attitude. That selfishness will be gone. You'll be happy when Jesus talks to people. Amen? Amen? And children will run to him and he'll embrace them. Yeah. He showed you what he's like. Suffer them to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know certain things. It hasn't been revealed. But one thing I do know is I can't say there's a particular age. Because if I remove everything that's ever hindered you and you're at your greatest strength, I mean, it's whatever that is, that's a good thing. Yeah. Say amen. But I know that when I see him, I'll be like him. But I'll shed this flesh, this limitations, and he'll give me a new body likened unto Christ. Won't that be awesome? And I wonder how many angels we're going to look at in heaven and go, dude, I saw you before. I just hope I was never rude to one. Say amen. Like, A couple of people who are talking to themselves, I hope they weren't an angel either. Amen. But they're among us. Isn't that cool? They're among us. But yet they don't have the relationship we do. They do not have that seed in them that makes them children of God. That is so cool. We have a song they'll never have. Yes, they enjoy his presence. Yes, they've been created by the Lord. But we have an adoption. We have a right to be there. That's why angels long to help the church and people in particular, members in particular. Because if the Lord paid the price for you, you must be special. I believe this with all my heart. They wait for assignment to help God's people. Yeah. Yes, and not just to get a date either. Yeah. That's good preaching. Look at verse 2. Beloved, we are the sons of God, but it doesn't yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we will see him as he is. Notice that it's not the full manifestation yet. I like to put it this way. It's the development of the adoption into the inheritance. I now are gradually changing into that. I'm being conformed into His image. I'm working this out through different stages of development. I started off as a baby, and now I'm maturing into a man. How many of those, that's a different stage. When somebody adopts a little child, listen to me, it comes with all kinds of different ingredients. Here's the difference about this adoption. You've been born again by the right seed. So it's not a stranger moving into a family and working it out. We now have that spirit in us. But now the development into that inheritance is growing. The end of it is I'll see Him face to face. Isn't that cool? Your faith ending will be face to face with God. For us, that's an awesome treat. For those who stand at the white throne, it'll be an unbelievable, terrible day when you face Him as judge. Depart from me, I never knew you. How many are in that development stage? You're being conformed into that image. Listen, inside I'm made new, but this is working out in my life. Every day can be a greater walk with Him. I'm progressing into. Does this make sense? It's just like the forgiveness of sins. How many ever sinned once? Then you ask the Lord to forgive you. How many of us, there was progression in that? Sooner or later, hopefully that thing is dropping off. You're not even asked forgiveness for that because you're getting victory over it. Right? I haven't met a perfect Christian yet, and I'm not a perfect pastor. But thank God I'm not what I used to be. So the process of regeneration is starting to work to match that seed that is in me. Is that understandable? Hopefully I'm getting it out right. Notice that when He appears, we shall be like Him. It's an unfolding development. That development of the inner man, that child of God now is starting to have the possessions, the privileges are starting to work out. Oh, I want to know the fullness of what He has for me. True? How many want to know every precious promise? Everything God has in store. I got a long way to go. I wish I could say I got it all handled. But it's an unfolding revelation. It's like, man, Dad, you have that? Wow, you can do that? How many, it's like He opens up the door and it's like, wow, you own all that stuff? How do you spin the earth on nothing? And the universe stays, oh man, that is unbelievable. Lord, let's just talk about your love for a minute, Lord. Oh, it's just too great for me. How many of us, that's what it's like? I did that on purpose. Don't turn it down. What would it be like if you could just take 1 hour and sit with Him? How many would be like? Like you'd be fixated on how He looks. What's His eyebrows like? What color is His hair? How does He speak? Wow, look at that. How many be overwhelmed? That's the God you serve. But yet I can meet Him by faith and remove the physical for a moment. One day I'll see Him face to face. I'm going to know Him by the Holy Ghost. He's the teacher. He lives in me. Too many times we don't take advantage of the resource we have in the Holy Ghost. We need to develop that inner man, that child of God that is there, maturing in the faith. That as you get older physically, you're growing more mature spiritually. Because the two do not coincide. And you can be a Christian for 30 years and still be an infant concerning those areas. But we can all grow, true? If you feed yourself, you'll grow. Come on. I never had a problem feeding myself, bless the Lord. But one day I'll see Him. I'll be similar to God, for I'll see Him face to face. Oh, I long for that day. Don't you? Yes. I'm just passing through here. Now, I have no death sentence that I want to die tomorrow. But one day I'll see Him face to face. That's why anybody who goes to heaven never wants to come back, even if it was great here. Because there's no comparison of how great the glory is, how great God is, how great everything is. That's our true home. But when we see Him, we'll be like Him. I love that. Now, if I could shed the flesh and every weakness, every sin, everything that tempts, how many of us, I'll be more like Jesus. Yes. Amen. Paul said, who'll deliver me? But thanks be to God, He gives me the victory. Amen. I still do things I shouldn't, but thank God He gives me the victory. Yes. So our limitation is not in the Holy Ghost. It's this flesh. Yeah. It dwells no good thing. It's just along for the ride. I have two natures now. I have the nature of sin, which I received from my parents, and I have the nature of God that's in me. And whatever I yield to, I follow. I want to follow the Holy Ghost. You're here tonight, and these are spirit words speaking to the spirit man. I guarantee you, God will take you down a journey. He'll bring something to mind. Something will resonate in your spirit. That's what God does. Seeing the effects of Him, being in His presence, it's like not only do you see Him, you'll know Him. Isn't that cool? I long for the day if Jesus teaches a Bible study, how many will be there front and center? I'd like to have this on the marquee. Jesus is preaching at 5:45. Now let's remove the clock. 5:45 in the big chapel hall. How many be there? Man, I'm going to be there. How many be there? Come on, because you'll see Him and know Him. Well, it's no different now. The Holy Ghost is here. Now, I am a far cry from Jesus, but I want His Spirit to still speak. I want His Spirit to still be among us. That means when I pray, I'm not praying unto men. I'm praying unto God who hears. Man, that is so powerful. Prayer shouldn't be a duty, but a privilege. Don't look at it as a time clock either. Like, I know we have time, but look, say, man, I'm going to spend time with the Lord. Just have a natural part of your life. Take advantage of those moments that you're stuck in traffic. Talk to the Lord. Be that strange person that's talking to yourself. Amen? But keep your eyes on the road. 10-2, baby. 10-2. But one day He'll resurrect what I have. Knowing Him personally is the greatest ever. If you're taking notes, in 1 Corinthians 15:44, we are sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body and a spiritual body. In this life, I have this natural, but it's going to be raised to life in a spirit realm. In 1 Corinthians 13:12, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. I know in part, but then I'll know as I'm known. I love that. Seeing God brings another further revelation of His inheritance. Didn't He say, you'll see me one day? That's a further revelation of the inheritance God has. I want you with me. I'm preparing a place for you. I'm coming again. Amen. Revelation 22 verse 4, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their forehead. I love that. We have a joint inheritance with Jesus. I love that. I have the same inheritance. I can share in the same joys and the same love, the same strength, the same comfort, and even the same type of body Christ has. I win. Because the seed of God is in me. Everything comes with the package. Everything God has promised. You have the right to have these promises. You have a right to claim them and to walk in them. Don't let the devil discourage you out of the promises of God. They're yes and amen for you. Why? Because you're a child. Even if you've been away from the Lord and you return, the promises are still yours. That's why the prodigal son, when he came home, the father knew the son had an inheritance. Did he squander it on living that shouldn't be right? Absolutely. Don't do that. But when he came home, he's still my son. Thank God that you, when you came home, you're still a son or daughter. Even when you blew it after you were saved. Oh, that should make you come unglued. God allowed you to come home and He still put a robe on you. We didn't deserve it. We squandered a life, but God said, you're still mine. Amen? And the Father had nothing but love. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to put it on you. Amen? I'm going to cover your stink and give you something new. Hallelujah. Amen? You may smell like the world, but now you're going to smell like heaven. Amen? No, the more we walk in the Spirit, the more we'll recognize the things of the Spirit. One of the things we have to watch for is trying to make just a mental note of everything and walk it out in our natural. Spiritual things need to be spiritually discerned. I don't see angels flying around in this room every day. Okay, I don't. Amen? Are they among us? Sure. If God said they're there, that's good enough for me. I don't need to see a physical manifestation to believe that they are. Doesn't it say you're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses? I don't know who all they are, but God says they're there. So be it. Those promises are settled. But when it comes to changing my life, sometimes it's hard to see that. It's hard to see the progression in us. It's hard to see, engage where we're at spiritually. Or am I the only one? But one thing that you'll notice is that if sin is starting to get in the rearview mirror, you're starting to distance yourself some. That's a good thing. If somebody sees some goodness in you, like, man, they walk in a little more love than you did last year, that's a good thing. A little more revelation, that's a good thing. Sometimes you may not detect it, but a close brother or sister may be able to say, hey, I can see that in you. That's a good thing. Share that common thing. I can see Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not with flattery words, but because you care. You see it. I'm changing. I don't want to stay the same. How many want to change in here? I want to go from glory to glory to glory. And since that seed is me, I can develop into what God wants me to be. Amen? I'm not talking about a different nature. I'm talking about growing in the nature God has given me. A baby is different than a full-grown adult. Same person, but there's a development stage. At the end of your life, you should have went from baby to full-grown man or woman. And one of the areas you're going to gauge that on is, how do you control this? Say amen. Amen. No man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly poison. Lord, help me to. It's not a matter of not just saying the words. It's a matter of getting it that the words aren't even in you anymore. Jesus never reviled because the words weren't in him. I want to be that way. I still got a ways to go. But I don't even want to think it. Amen? And even when Jesus called things out, I love what he did sometimes. Sometimes it's really just in your face. Like he said this, tell me, the baptism of John, was it of men or of heaven? Answer me. Then I'll tell you by what authority did I do this. So they got a little powwow together and say, you know, if we say of men, man, the people think he's a prophet and they'll stone us. And if we say from heaven, they'll say, well, why didn't you believe? So we'll say, we don't know. Then Jesus said, neither will I tell you by what authority I do this. I love that. That's in your face. I gave you an opportunity, and you're just going to hide behind it, so I'm not even going to speak to it. That's pretty creative, wouldn't you say? I kind of hope the disciples went, man, dude, that was awesome. Amen. But I wonder sometimes if they were even spiritually understanding. I really do. Sometimes we're so carnal, aren't we? I wonder how many truths that we were still emphasized and we missed it. Lord, I want to grow in grace. Amen. I want to understand those things. If a little bit can be put in your spirit tonight, then there's a benefit there. But you have to feed yourself. You have to grow in those things. Are you enjoying tonight? Amen. Look at verse 3. And every man that has this hope, that seed in him, that born again, purifies himself even as he's pure. The moral effect of a Christian hope. It's the real foundation of this hope that we purify ourselves. It's the soil on which we grow up. This hope is permanent property. It's a fixed possession. He who has this hope in him purifies himself. I have this hope in me. I've been born again. That seed is in there. Now I'm going to act in that hope. It's uninterrupted. It's everlasting. Then I want that power to come to pass. Amen? Somebody said this once. Hope is the mother of sanctification. If you have this hope, you keep yourself pure. So if this hope is in me, I want to live pure for Christ. Isn't that why you want to do it? How many of those, it gives birth to more areas of pureness in our life. The only thing pure in you was the Holy Ghost. But I looked up in the Old Testament in Numbers 8 verse 21, and the Levites were purified. They washed their clothes. Then Aaron offered them an offering before the Lord. And Aaron made an atonement for their sins and cleansed them. In Psalm says this, Psalm 11 verse 7, for the Lord is righteous, he loves righteousness, his countenance beholds the upright. Well, in the Old Testament, they walked as pure as they could because he was holy. They had that hope within them. How much more Jesus, we have that hope in us. Easter's a good time to reflect on, man, he paid a great price for our sins. Wasn't our sin nailed him to a cross? True? But it was the love that kept him and sustained him. I love you. I'm doing this for you. Well, if it cost him that to bring us purity, I think I can say no to this because of my new nature. I struggle with this, and here's a hard answer. When believers walk away from the Lord and no longer desire to be pure anymore, where's the hope in that? Where's the seed allowing growth in that? The enemy's always working to hinder that seed, to keep people from their destiny, to work out a different plan in their life. If you have this hope in you, your object is to be pure. True? That should be our goal, is that we walk true, we walk holy. And man, let me say this to you. I want to help you. I do. Every lady that wants to get married, I haven't met one of them says, please put a big stain right here. I haven't met one that wants her dress all jacked up. They'll go to great lengths to keep it pure. Amen? I remember one time we were delayed in this wedding I was doing, and the bride was real hungry. I said, listen, you can't eat something that's going to get all over you. So I got her something to eat, and I never forget, she stood over the sink like this, and she held out what she was eating like this. And I chuckled. I'm like, well, she didn't want to get nothing on her dress. Amen. I mean, is that something? Because you want to be pure. We should have that. We should say, I don't want nothing to spot this up. You know, a lot of my prayers start out with, Lord, forgive me of all my sins. Anybody here? Lord, cleanse me from all unrighteousness. The Holy Ghost initiates that change. He does. And trust your prayer language too. I shared with you a few months ago. I asked the Lord, Lord, my prayer language seems to start off similar in syllables when I pray. Lord, give me an understanding of that. He actually gave me an interpretation of the beginning of my prayer time. And it was, I'll just like paraphrase it. It was like, Lord, you're wonderful, magnificent. It was all these like unbelievable praise type things. I'm like, I'll never doubt again. Amen? That's how it starts off. You're giving glory to God. Your spirit man is interceding. Hallelujah. That heavenly language will make your earthly language more powerful and effective. For when you don't know how to pray, you can pray in the Holy Ghost, which searches the deep things of God. Let me say this to you. If you're confronting a situation where you don't know what to do, spend time praying in the Spirit. Lord, bring it to my attention. Illuminate, Lord God. Make me smart. Amen? The Lord will do that on calling people, visiting people. You know, the other day, my wife and I were just thinking about an individual. We didn't even talk to each other. And at the dinner table, I said, you know what I've been thinking of? She goes, I've been thinking about that person too. I mean, the Holy Ghost will do that. He'll drop in your spirit. I shared with some of you, God's given me word of knowledge and saved the church $100,000 in one shot. Anybody remember that story? I was having this church and we were building, doing a building project. And we needed a sewer line to be right at the property line. There wasn't one to tap in the main tap. And the Lord just spoke a word to me. He says, you know what? They don't see it on the print. It's on this side of the property. Now, I took a big step of faith. I walked it out. I invited the city engineer. I had a backhoe there. City planner was there. Everybody was right there, trusting the word that I was speaking. Wow. I mean, it's a lot of pressure. Yeah. And I said, you know what? You may not believe this, but I'm paying for the backhoe, so that's one good thing. Yeah. Right here, the Lord showed me there's a tap that we don't have to bore across the road. They begin to dig, and they're all just standing there. They're all standing there, and the guy goes, there's something down there. They finished digging it. Sure enough, the tap was put on the other side of the road. It was never put on the original city print. Isn't that cool? I'm like, thank you, Jesus. How many have that brief minute of doubt? Oh, you're all perfect in here. It's like, Lord, you're good. Lord, you're good. I know you're here. I hope I heard you. Because otherwise, I'm going to look like a total nutcase. But it saved $100,000 right there. They looked and said, man, it's not on here. Oh, great. Okay, tap into that. You're good to go. Praise the Lord. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you are so cool. You're so good. Say amen. Amen. Can God do it for anyone here? That's why not everything's been created. I mean, if more people spend time in prayer, Lord, help me in this area. I believe God can do it. For those who, and I'm not trying to pick on anyone, even when it comes to music, not everything's been written yet. Come on, God can get music that they can play in some store and the whole store could fall out in the power of the Holy Ghost. Yes or no? It's not a matter of making the next hit. It's a matter of entering into what he has. When Jesus can tell Peter, I want you to go out and go fishing. There's enough for my taxes and yours. Now, somebody said this. Jesus took care of 12 men. Would you agree? Okay, and that isn't just the stragglers that came along too. Some of these people, Peter had a mother-in-law. That meant he was married. He took care of them. So how many in this room would take on 12 individuals in your life and take care of them? Anybody want to have that job? What kind of resources would you need? When somebody says Jesus was broke, I'm here to tell you that isn't scriptural. If he paid taxes, that means he made some money. Oh, no thunderous amens here, amen? Okay, how about this? Tiger, go fish, pull out a coin, it's going to pay for your taxes and mine. How many are like, dude, that has to be one whale? Yes or no? How many are thinking, that doesn't make sense? You put a fish out to get a fish. Open its mouth, my father's going to take care of me just like he promised. Did he not bring gold, frankincense, and myrrh to Mary and Joseph? The father was taking care of his own kid, and they lived on the increase. God will take care of his own kids in relationship. Isn't that cool? Man, I love it. Then he's going to give a good journey, make a good journey for all of us. You guys should be coming unglued. Man, you have that seed in you. You have relationship. I am going to have a great place to live forever. Amen. If you want to call it a mansion or a dwelling place, that's fine with me. Come by and see my pad. You're going to love it. Amen. When I come over your house, oh man, this is just sweet. And you're going to say, Lord, how'd you know? Then you're going to go, oh God, you're God. You know. Amen. Manicured lawn, there'll be no weeds in that puppy. You like flowers, there are going to be abundance of them. You want to tend to them, that's your business, that's fine. Amen. I enjoyed tonight. God is good. Amen. But if you're pure, notice verse 3. If you're pure, because he purifies you. But if you have this hope, that's your desire. You have that desire in you. I struggle when Christians no longer have a desire to be pure. Yeah. Man, you have the same hope I do. What happened? Yeah. You've moved away from that. You let something cloud that vision. Then the Lord's still married to the backslider. Pray they return. Yeah. Amen? Now, I'm cautioning you this way. There are some people that I think are born again, but they're really not. They may have made an emotional response, but they've never let the word in them to change them. Just because you mouth the words doesn't mean the work has started. That's why a confession of faith is so important after you prayed. Everybody with me on that? So sometimes you can get caught up like, well, if they're a Christian, but now they're not serving the Lord. Did they really mean what they did? Now, I can't tell that. And I can't go around and say, you did and you didn't. That's the Holy Ghost work. The only thing I can look for is fruit of repentance. That's the only thing I need, because a good tree bears good fruit. A bad tree does bad fruit. But everyone that I come in contact with, I want them born again. Jesus set us in a perfect example and a perfect pattern to follow. He's been molding men and women for this long. He's doing a good job at it. If he can change the Apostle Paul, then he can change little old Tom. Amen? If he can change Moses, he can change Tom. If he's changed Joshua, he can change you. Look at the company you become in because Christ is in you. All of you are world changers. Look at yourself as such. I am a world changer. The greatest thing happened inside me. The Lord, let me be that example to this world. Maybe you won't preach like Billy Graham in Crusade, but you can sure live it out. That's a great witness and example. How many people have you already met in your lifetime already? Come on. I know it's more than one. I know it's more than 10. So you already have an example. There's already people around you. Live it out. Amen. He who has this hope in him purifies himself. Amen. We're going to stop there. You enjoying this tonight? Amen. Father, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, that we truly have this hope in us. Lord, it's the hope of glory. Lord, I ask you in the name of Jesus, Lord, to bring that revelation complete. That, Lord, I know inside we're perfect in you. But like a child that grows, we're growing in this. We're growing in the promises. We're growing in that inheritance. And Lord, I know that you don't give a little one something he can't handle. So Father, mature us all.